is all we're able to say is these are close acquaintances, and that's the case with Phil and Stacy. I've known them or of them for several years now, but that's their story to tell about the connection and that. But it really is an honor to have them here and to share. And so we just invite you up and...
Well, greetings, church. It's a pleasure to be here. Not a problem at all. My name is, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Phil Sims. I am one of the pastors at King's Corner Church. I'm the student discipleship pastor. That's a nice way of saying I'm the youth and young adult lead pastor. We've been serving there for going on 5 years already. We were living in Moose Jaw before that, and I remember the day when I got this call. God works in many ways. We were like, we had a feeling that God was about to do something in our lives, and we weren't sure what it was. And we got this call, and it was like, "Hey, I'd like you to come out and be one of the pastors at a church." And in my stomach, I just knew that, oh, this is what the Lord was preparing us about for. And we got on a call, me and my wife, and we were very excited for that. And we knew that God was already preparing us to go into ministry into a different capacity. So I have my wife, Stacy, here, if you've heard about. And I have my son, Shadrach, here as well. You know, so I'm very blessed. He's a little bit shy, but you can say hi to him. He'll say hi back, you know. Yeah. Before that, actually, the connection with John was we are really good friends with Justin and Cheryl. So we've been friends way, way, way back. We met. Maybe I'll leave that part for. Yeah, Stacy will tell that part. Hold on.
Okay. So, hello. It's great to be here, by the way. So basically, Cheryl, Justin and I were both on dialysis at the same time. So this was back in 2007. Well, I was about to start dialysis. And Cheryl found, my friends and family had made a prayer group on Facebook back in 2007. And Cheryl was just searching randomly and found my name and looked at this prayer group. And so she was bold and messaged me back then. And we realized that, like, we're a bit older than them, but not by a whole lot. And she said, "Well, man, you guys are Christians. Justin and I are on dialysis, and we're both newly married." And so it was just crazy how God worked that together. So that's how we met, you know, John and Lynn, and we became friends with them over the years and never lived in the same place. But then all of a sudden, just this past year, they moved to Regina. So all of these years since 2007, we hadn't been in the same location as them, and we just had connections through camp. We spoke at Springside back whenever, and all of these things. And Justin was pastoring a long time ago, and they had us do a concert there. And we've just remained friends with them and prayed for them over the years, and even when we lost a little bit of contact, we'd still pray for each other. And then we were able to reconnect on New Year's Day, and we got to hang out with their parents and them, and it was a really, really, it was just so awesome. So that's the connection there, so we feel really blessed to be here. So, yeah.
A whole bunch. John, I'm always got games. Always. I'm always ready for games. If you name a game, I'm ready to learn it. If I don't know it, I'll learn it. We'll play. Especially if it's competitive, let's go. Hey. Like, I'm always ready. So, yeah, that's just one of my things. But, no, it's a pleasure to be here, especially knowing Justin and Cheryl and where they come from. I know you guys are in good hands. You're definitely in good hands, and God has a lot of things for you. So today I'm going to share, my testimony is really long. So, I mean, we only have about, what, 2 hours? Should be said? No, I'm just... I'm just playing with you. No. But I am going to share my testimony, and along the way, I'm going to share about God and let you guys know a few things of what I think about God and his love for us. So today, I want to talk to you about real love and what is real love. Well, I'm going to read a scripture, and if you could pull that first one up, Matthew 22, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. Who still carries a Bible, like a physical Bible? Can I see your hands if you carry a physical Bible with you? Okay, and then how many of you use the Bible on your phone or your tablet? Okay, so it's about 50-50 almost. Okay, that is good. Both are very good. It's good to always have your Bible for highlighting and stuff like that when you need quick access, but it's also good to have that, to load that up on your device and to have that handy with you at all times. I do a mixture of both. Mostly I use my phone, but I definitely have my selection of Bibles that I can turn to if I need something. So we're going to read Matthew 22, 36 to 40, and it says, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we're going to dive into what that means. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you've given me to share. I thank you for the fellowship and the time, Lord. I just pray that it will not be my words, Lord, but it will be your words. I pray that you will speak to this congregation, Lord God, and give them a renewed faith and a love and a hope and a passion, Lord God, for you, and that they will be drawing people to you. I pray that you bless this church and this congregation and the words that are about to be said in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to start way back at the beginning for you. But before I talk about my testimony, what is love? What do you think that the world considers to be love? See, if I was to ask you if there was things that you love, I'm sure you could come up with a list. I'm sure that some of you might say that you love a social media app. Some of you might say you love your car. Some of you might say you love your pet. You know, there might be things that you love. Oh, you love your clothing, or you just love that dessert, that donut. It's your favorite donut. Am I giving hints for stuff that I like, maybe? And we hear this word love, and we use it a lot in our everyday lives. I love this, I love that. And it's okay to like things. And we might use that word so much that the real meaning of love sometimes gets lost, especially in this world. As a kid, I remember I used to think that I loved a lot of things. I remember my sister, she knew that when I was growing up, I was about a bit younger than my son Shadrach. Now he's 11 years old now. I might have been 10, and my sister knew that I loved this show called Transformers. You might have heard of it. And I was just like, this was the most amazing thing. I was like, it can be a car, and then it can transform into a robot? I was just like, this is like, my mind was blown. I could not get enough of these Transformers. And the crazy thing was, I wasn't able to watch the show because I would come home from school, then my sisters would be watching this other stuff, and it was on at the same time the Transformers was on, so I barely got to watch it. I had to see it through the commercials or when they weren't going to be watching their show and they weren't there. So I got to very barely get to watch this Transformers. But my sister, she heard, and she knew that I just wanted these Transformers so bad, and she bought me my first Transformer, and it was Starscream. And I think my son actually has that same Starscream now, the Transformer. When we went back to home in Hamilton, and he took it with him. But I was so infatuated with this thing. I was just like, it was with me everywhere I would go. I'd be just like, oh, I love this thing. And I was so excited. You see, as a kid, I thought I knew what love was with those things. But I didn't realize that that really wasn't love, right? That was something that I liked. That was something I was infatuated with. See, I was blessed and fortunate to grow up in a Christian home. In fact, my dad became a pastor, And because of being in the church all of the time, I began to learn, and I was surrounded by people that would love, and they would love on me. And I began to understand and to learn what love was. And from a very young age, I just loved music. And I would write songs, and I'd write songs to God, and I'd just be like, I would take songs in from the hymnal, and I would transfer. I didn't know what I was doing, but I just did it out of the passion, out of the desire of who God made me to be. I didn't understand it at that time, but God had already made me to do something. And I would start writing these songs, and I would just be like giving God glory, and I started to have this relationship, and I started to understand what God was, and I started to have this passion and this love for God. And then I would write these songs, and I'd sing these songs, and I'd record these songs on those tape deck recorders. Remember that? And I'd sing stuff, and I'd record it on that, and I'd be like, woo, and I'd have this, and I'd let everybody I could listen. I just wanted people to listen and to hear my songs. And that stayed with me all through. I'd grow up. I started so many groups. I started singing groups. We were called the Grace Fillers. Because there was a group called the Grace Thrillers. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but that was a famous group at the time. And we started groups, and we would sing in church on Sunday and anytime we'd get an opportunity. And then I remember in middle school, I started a hip-hop group. It was me and a friend, actually two other friends, the three of us. And we were in about grade 7 or grade 8. And we were just like, man, wouldn't it be so cool if we could, like, rap? And we were just like, oh, I wanted to rap. You wanted to rap, too? And I'm like, yeah. And we're just like, why don't we do it? What's stopping us? So right in the school, no word of a lie, we would just do this. I might knock your drink over. I better go over here. We would go on the desks, right? And this is what we'd do. We'd be like, all the time. It drove the teachers nuts, okay? Because we were banging on the desk. We were making beats. And then there came this assignment, and we had to make this, we had to sing this song, right? And it was called Ringo or whatever. A teacher made us do this poem, and we were like, what if we rap it? And we were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we're like, what if we rap it for, like, in front of people, in front of the class? So we did it as our presentation, and the teacher was like, this is amazing. He's just like, would you guys be able to do this for the school? And we were like, oh, for the school? And we were just like, yo, this is grade 7, right? We're thinking, this is amazing, right? We're like, okay, we could do this. We could do this, right? We could do this. So we had an assembly, and then we were doing this song. That wasn't even a song we wrote, but we were hitting it, and we were doing beatboxing, and we were rapping, and we rapped this song, and people started loving it and going crazy. And from that one experience started me on a path that I didn't know that God was going to take me on. You see, God can use our desires and the things he's placed in our lives to shape us and to form us and to touch people around us. We're never supposed to live a day in our lives without being touched or wanting to touch somebody else. If you're a child of God, God has made you to be an anointing. God has made you to draw people to you so that you can show them who he is. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're shy. It doesn't matter if you're bold. It doesn't matter what your condition is. God can use you. Amen. So I'm young, and I'm going, and I'm doing all these songs and stuff, and I felt like David. You know David, right? He wrote a lot of the Psalms. I felt like I could understand when I'd be reading these Psalms because it was how I felt. And I was like, Psalms 23, if you've heard it, you might know this passage. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a beautiful psalm. You can't read that psalm and not feel encouraged and not feel uplifted. So I understood a little bit of what love was. I was starting to understand that God loves me, right? So I would be doing all these songs all the way through middle school. I'd be doing the songs, and then in high school, I started doing sports. I started playing sports quite passionately, okay? So if you see, I have a Raptors hat. John was making fun of me a little bit there, saying that it's going to be a bit before they win the next championship. But, hey, one can hope, right? Okay? I had to wait 25 years for that first championship because I was living in Toronto at the time, and when it started, and it was just like, are we ever going to be good? You know what I mean? Are we ever going to be good? And then we got to the years, and Vince Carter, we actually have an all-star. You guys, you know who Vince Carter is, right? You guys. I'm not going to hold it against you because we're in the house of the Lord, okay? But anyways, I love sports. I played basketball. I played football. I played soccer. And for 1 year of insanity, I played water polo. And I was like, 1 year is all a person needs in their lifetime of water polo because it's the hardest sport on earth. Okay? If anybody love swimming, play water polo? Okay. So you can relate how hard it is. Real water polo is, I give you props if you can play water polo. Anyways, I got tricked into doing that. They were like, oh, you seem to be athletic and everything. Why don't you join the water polo team? I'm like, hey, why not? Worst decision ever. And because my dad was just like, hey, you start something, you got to finish it. I had to do the whole season. I couldn't just quit and realize it was too hard for me. So I actually got better, but it was a learning experience. But anyways, I played a lot of sports, and I loved music. But the strange thing was, I grew up in Hamilton, right? Hamilton, Ontario. And then my dad, you guys are from there? Oh, my goodness, that's exciting. We got to talk after this. You understand. Okay, I love Hamilton. So I was brought up in Hamilton, and my dad at the time, he was working the church, but he would do different roles. He wasn't a pastor at the time. He was a deacon, and like he was a Sunday school teacher, and he was doing all the different things, right? But then around when I was 9 or 10, he felt the Lord calling him to start a church. And it was just like, start a church. And we're like, okay, like, we're not really paying much because we're just like, kids, we just like, okay, Dad, whatever you do it. You know what I mean? So he's working. He worked in Slater Steel. He was an electrical engineer. And he's being called to start this church. And we're like, okay. So he starts this church. And this church is in Burlington, Ontario. So that's about the equivalent from Moose Jaw to Regina. It's about 65, 75 kilometers, about that distance or something like that. Actually, no, that's Toronto. It's about 30, 35 kilometers. Yeah, like 15, 20 minutes. Sorry, I'm talking about Toronto. So it's not that far. But the thing is, I grew up in Hamilton Church of God, so now I'm going to a totally different area, different church, different everything. So I didn't have any friends. See, I had the few people in the church, but then I was isolated. So I was going to school not knowing really any of my friends. I didn't know many people. I was alone. I was like the only Christian. And it was difficult. It was difficult. Because that time growing up, not only did I have to deal, I had to deal with actually racial tensions, believe it or not. And I had to deal with all these other things. But I had to deal with people saying, oh my gosh, here comes this Christian. Here he comes. What a geek. What a loser. This Christian. And they would point at me and they would make fun of me. And it was difficult because I didn't have a friend group. Like, I was just like, what do I do? Like, how? Like, I don't understand it. And they would do it day in, day out because I would wear the shirts. I would have the shirts and saying, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. You know, all those shirts. And they would make fun of me. And it got to the point that I was just like, I didn't know what to do. It was just, it wore on me and wore on me. And I remember I was talking to my mother and I said, Mom, these people, they keep making fun of me. They're humiliating me, laughing at me. I don't understand who I am anymore. I just don't feel like I'm worth anything. And this is one of the most amazing things in my life. She said to me, Son, I want you to read Psalms chapter 139. And I was like, Psalms 139, and it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And I read the whole passage, and it talked about how God had made me and knew me before I was even born. He knew me, and he put me in the womb. He knew me. Before there was any part of me, God knew me. And I kept reading that passage, and she's like, no, don't just read it once. You keep reading it till you actually understand what it's about. And I would read that passage day in, day in, day in, until it became a part of me. And you want to know something? Once I finally understood what that passage was saying, words didn't hurt me anymore. I would go be going, and they'd be like, yeah, you're a Christian. I'm like, but what are you? Maybe you should be too. And they'd be like, wait a minute, what? He has a comeback. What is this? This isn't what we signed up for. You're supposed to be embarrassed. You're the only one that's a Christian. Some of you might be the only one at your workplace that's a Christian. But God has you there to be that light. You might be ridiculed. You might be made fun of. But that's okay. They made fun of Jesus too. If you're called into this world and God is your God, you're going to go through difficulties. You're going to go through situations. And they're going to be tough. But one thing you can make sure, God loves you. I remember being free and being able to say, you know what, God loves me. And it didn't matter anymore what people thought of me. I only cared what he thought about me. And you don't know how freeing that is. When you can boldly say that you care about God and you know he loves you, it doesn't matter what anyone says. Anyone. Because he's your father. He's the one who loves you most. More than even your parents. God loves you most. And when you can really understand that, when you can really get behind it, then when he asks you to do stuff, it's not that difficult. See, the one thing, though, I continued on after being free from that. I played a lot of sports. I made a lot of friends. The crazy thing is now a lot of those people that used to make fun of me when I was young, when I got older, they became friends. And they would ask me questions, and they would ask for advice. And I was able to talk to those people and just share to those people and love on them. Those same people that used to make fun of me. They would always be like, man, it's so obvious that you'd be doing ministry. It was so, we couldn't see it at the time, you know, because kids can be mean, sometimes not even intentionally, right? But the enemy wants to use those things. He wants to keep you down. He wants you to just not talk about God's love. He doesn't want you to understand who you were made in his image. He doesn't want you to understand the power that he can do through you. Because what would happen if the world knew that? Right in this room right here. Forget about Wolseley. Forget about Saskatchewan. We could change the whole nation. We just have to get a hold of that. We just need to get a grip of that. This is unrelated, but you guys ever heard of Stan Lee? Yeah. Stan Lee, he created Marvel Comics, okay? He was one of the original creators. And he was actually a great inspiration to me, because I love Spider-Man and Hulk and all those things. But you don't know this, but he was about 89... And he was working more than full time, and he wasn't even tired. He was working. He's just like, I just want to give this love to people. I just want to share. I just want people to be happy. And he just wanted to continually share out of who he was, right? He didn't understand it maybe beyond that spiritually, but he was doing what he was made to do. And when you're doing what you're made to do, God is going to equip you, right? He's going to equip you. He's going to give you the energy to do it. He's going to give you the resources to do it. He's going to make a way where there is no way. Sure, you're going to go through valleys. Sure, you're going to have difficult times. But one thing you can be rest of your heart upon is that God loves you. And the one thing that you don't want to do, you never want to do, is make a decision when you're in a down moment, right? You don't want to trust your feelings, okay? Because when you're in a down moment, you're not feeling the greatest, but you're also not thinking correctly. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if you're in a moment and you're feeling down and you're trusting your feelings, you're doing something that actually doesn't make really much sense. We've unfortunately known quite a few couples that have stopped loving each other because they trusted their feelings. I don't feel it anymore. I don't feel it. I don't love them like I used to. If you know anything about love, you know it has nothing to do with feelings. You will get feelings, but it's not the feelings that is love. Above all, love is a choice. Love is discipline. Love is commitment. Love is sacrifice. Love is not being interested in getting your own way. It's a hard one to learn because you've got to be like, I want this thing, but no. They say it takes about 9 years for someone to truly start loving someone, to be able to put them above themselves. 9 years. So all those marriages that don't even make it 9 years, they haven't even run the course yet. They haven't even got there to start. And that's to start truly loving. Did you know that? Think about that. 9 years to start. Don't give up on something so beautiful. See, we talk about love and relationships, but there's all relationships. We need to love each other. And if we could be the church that God calls us to be, I guarantee you we're going to love more. But it's not based on our feelings. We can't listen to that and say, because I don't feel it, I'm going to give up. I'm going to throw it in. If you don't feel it anymore, maybe you need to love a little harder. Maybe you need to forget about yourself and just make a list of what things I can do for this person. Have you tried that? Or are you still thinking about how they annoy you or how they're not doing things for you? Is it still about you? Because love is never about you. Hello? When Jesus died on the cross, was it about him? Was he doing it for his benefit? Getting nails into his hands, thorns on his head, was that for him? And the Bible says no greater love has anyone than this, to lay down their life for his friends. He laid down his life for us. So why would we think that love has something to do with us, but it has to do with others? What thing can you practically do day to day for somebody else? That's how love starts. Love is a commitment. It's a commitment through thick or through thin, through the good times, through the bad times. But I promise you, if you put that commitment and you test it and you do the things required for it, love can be sweet. And you can feel it again. In fact, you will feel it again. But you got to get rid of self. Self just has to go. And the only way that that's possible is through love. It's through God. See, we can't love fully like we're supposed to. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Father. We need his love. And we need to not only follow his example, we need him to live through us. So that we can love, right? This world is so built on self, what you can do for yourself, what you can get for yourself, what you want. That's not love. That's selfishness. That's selfish ambition. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. That's everything but love. But God's love is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. So I went through a period of time where I didn't understand that, obviously, when I was growing up at the time. But once I started getting into sports and stuff, and I got into a bad relationship. And I talk about this part. So the first bit of what I was talking about was what is love. This, now I'm going to talk about who should you love, okay? So I dated this one girl because I was still looking for acceptance, and I still wanted to be loved, and we all want to be loved. But when we start thinking people are going to fulfill us, we've missed it. People are never going to fulfill us. Only God can fulfill us. But I was looking for that love, and I wanted, you know, I wanted to be man's bird. I wanted a person that loved God, too, and I thought I found this person, but this person was actually abusive and really had me messed up in my senior year, and I just didn't understand, and I was so hurt, and I was angry, and I was frustrated, and I was like, God, why would you ever let me even talk to this person? If you knew this is how it's going to end, you know everything. And I was mad. I'm like, how could you let me go through this? How could you do this? How could you let me get my heart broken? And I just was so upset and angry and hurt, and I turned from God. I tried to, at least. I was just like, forget this. You know, I've been a Christian my whole life, and this is how I get treated? Oh, boy. I'm going to get hurt and abused like this. I was just like, well, you know what? I'm going to do what the world. They seem to be having fun. They don't have to go through stuff like this. Stuff doesn't bother them. I'm going to try the world. I'm going to try what's going on in the world, right? And in Matthew 6:21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, you can quickly know who somebody is by knowing what they like and what they love. Quickly. You only need to know the first three things that they say. You can find out a lot by people what they love. The things that they'll show you that they love, and the things that are hidden. See, our flesh, we have a desire to do sinful things, and we want to, but that's why we need to be renewed through Christ, we need to be made saved. We're saved, but we need to continue the work of salvation. We need to let God continually work on us. Because yes, it was done at the cross, but we have to walk through this daily. Paul says, I die daily. That's Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. I die daily. So we've got to die daily to self. But I didn't understand that. I wanted to experience what the world was experiencing. So I had this party lifestyle. And it was interesting. I would be going to these parties and doing these things. And I wanted to be something special in the world, I guess you could say. And I would try to do these things. And people would be like, you're not really like us. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? And I'd get mad. I'd be like, what are you talking about? They're like, I don't know. You're not supposed to do these things. And I'm like, who are you? You don't even know me. What do you know about me? All through that whole period of time, people would be telling me, you're not like us. You're not supposed to be doing this stuff that we're doing. And strangely enough, the friends that I had, they would protect me and shield me, and they wouldn't allow me to do a lot of the crazy things that they would do. They'd be like, you should stay here and do this. We're going to go do this. All throughout it. And I didn't understand what was happening at the time, because I could be like anybody. I'm a man, right? I could do what I need to do. I'm like, what are you saying? I can't do it. I can do this. But I couldn't. See, I wasn't supposed to do those things. And Psalms 139, verse 8 says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell like I was doing, behold, you're there. I was trying to run from God. I was doing my everything to get away. But he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me run. He's like, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. I know that you've been hurt. I know what you've gone through, but I'm still here. Sometimes we need to remember what our first love was like, our first experience with the Lord. Sometimes we need that again. Sometimes we need more. We don't want to live off just that first experience, but I need more of them. I want them more and more and more. I expect them more and more and more, and I ask God for more and more and more. Why should I live off of one experience in my life? Why should that be my whole life? Is that it? Or does God have more for us? He has more. You're not finished. Some of you might just be beginning. You thought you knew, but this is a new beginning. God can use you like you've never imagined. He loves you. So God protected me even though I was running as far away from him as I could. I went through relationships looking for love from people instead of from God. And I remember coming to this, literally a rock. I was on a date and in Hamilton. There is a, if you go all the way down Fennel to Gage, there's this kind of waterfall. And there was, we were down there and there was a wall you could rock climb kind of. And I literally remember, I was like, I don't even know how we got there, but I was there. And I got, I remembered my dad had said to me, hey, Philip, there's this thing at Hamilton Church. Would you go with me? And my dad wasn't asking me many things because I was making my own decisions. But I knew he was praying for me. And he asked me to just, he's like, I need somebody to go or whatever, to take me or whatever. He just used whatever because he wanted me to go there. And I said, okay, Dad. And I remember being in on that date in that valley. And I remember thinking, oh, man, I got to go do that. And I had a choice to make. Was I going to go and go do that thing with my dad, or was I just going to stay here? And I was like, you know what? I got to go. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I got to go. I just got to go. And I left, and I went. I called my one friend, Mark, who was my best friend. And I said, yeah, you want to go to this church thing? My dad needs me to take him or something. And he's like, yeah, I'll go. Let's go, whatever. Okay, we're just like, you know, whatever. It's just another church thing. We grew up in the church, right? So we're just like, okay, whatever. Running. And I got there. I took my dad. We got there. And this I got to focus on this part of the testimony because it's crazy. I got in the building, right? And there was a man. And it was like he was shining. And I was just like, who is that guy? I've never seen him before. What the heck? He's shining. And it was just really strange. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just tripping, you know, like, I don't know. And it came time for the message to come forward. And the pastor said, well, the person that was supposed to be speaking got stuck. And I think it was Toronto, or I can't remember exactly where. He wasn't able to come, but we have this Brian Hunter here, and he's going to be speaking for us today. And I was just like, okay. And look, it was the guy that was shining. He's the one that's going to give this word. And I'm like, that's crazy. And he gets up, and he gives a message, and my heart's just like, oh, this is so good. I got to get out of here. I can't stay in this too much longer. You can't stay around a child of God for too long without being changed. You can't be surrounded by love for too long without being transformed. I tell you that. It's contagious. It is. Love is contagious. And I was like, okay, I got to get out of here. I can't do this. And it came to the end of his message, and he said, you know, I want to pray for everybody under, and I think he said maybe 20 or something like that. And I was like, whew, wasn't me. And he prayed for everybody. And then he said, you know, the Spirit, God's telling me, there's more, something's not right. I'm going to pray for everybody under, and he did like another 3 years or whatever, everybody that's whatever, and I was just like, still not me. Right? And I was just like, see, I prayed, and I said, God, yeah, like, it's crazy. I'm running from God, yet I'm still praying to God. And I'm like, if this is you, you've got to make it really clear that this is for me. And I was like, that's not for me, so I'm not going anywhere. I don't want it to be just another experience of going to the altar. And I sat down. Me and Mark both were just like, okay, we'll be leaving soon, whatever, he's almost done. And you're not going to believe this. He prayed, and he's like, no, that's not it. And he said, I want to pray for everybody. And he said the age that I was, I think, that me and Mark both were. And I think it was 25 or 26. And he's just like, I want to pray for everybody that's under this age or whatever. And I was just like, we looked at each other and we're like, oh boy. So we go up to get prayed. I think it was just us. And I'm not sure if there was other people. I can't remember at the time. And he put his hand on me. And we both started to cry. And God had told him things that he couldn't have known. And he started to prophesy about me. And he's like, God doesn't want you to run anymore. He loves you. And I had to make a choice. Was I going to continue to run? Or was I going to walk into what God was calling me to? And it just so turned out, I just repented that night. And he said, funny thing is, I'm doing this thing, it's called Master's Commission. And I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, it starts in like a couple weeks. And I'm like, uh-huh. And he's like, I think you're supposed to go. And I was like, uh-huh. and he goes, funny thing is, when I got this call, I said, Lord, if you'll give me one person, and I didn't feel released until I touched you. And I was like, I know. I saw you from when you entered the building. You were shining, and I didn't know why. But God will make things clear and evident in your life when he's calling you, because he loves you that much. He will take the time and make sure you understand, I love you. Without me, you can do nothing. I was just wasting my time. And God was using me to understand that through thick and thin, he's with me to the end. So I rededicated my life, and I haven't looked back since. God took me, I got to so many different people I've got to meet, and now they see who I am, and I can witness to them, and I can talk to them, and they know. They were like, you were always different. That's why we wouldn't let you go and do those things. You were different. So God definitely has a call for you, and he wants us to be set apart. Now, I better call Stacy up. To preface this, so after I went to Master's Commission, I ended up coming all the way out to Saskatchewan to Moose Jaw. Crazy story. My friend of mine that was in Master's Commission, a few of them, they were like, "Hey, we're gonna be going to Bible College in Moose Jaw," and I was just like, "What? Where's that? Like, I've never heard of Moose Jaw. Where's that in Ontario?" And and they were just like, no, it's not in Ontario. And I'm like, okay. Right? And I was just like, okay, where is it? And they're like, it's in Saskatchewan. I said, what did you say? They're like, yeah, it's like near Regina. And I'm just like, why would you go to Saskatchewan? Like, because, you know, Ontario, people from Ontario, we think we're all the world around is about us, right? We kind of think that we're everything. So we're just like, why would you ever go to Saskatchewan when you have all the schools here, you have everything, you have the 401, right? Well, like, why would you want to leave Toronto? So I was just like, well, you guys are crazy, have fun. I don't know why you're even telling me. And then the one friend, she had the nerve to say, because I think you're supposed to go. I said, I laughed. Like, I was just like, this is hysterical. I was just like, you're funny now. And she's like, no, I'm serious. And I'm like, well, you know, I thought you knew the Lord, but clearly you're like, there's some communication lines that are being crossed here. So I was like, yeah, okay. And she's like, well, promise me this. And I was like, what? Promise me that you'll pray about it. And I was like, oh, man, she had to say that. In my gut, I was just like, oh, boy. And I was like, but I was like, there's no way. So I'm like, okay, I'll pray about it. Oh, boy. Never seek God seriously about something if you don't want an answer. Because he's faithful. And he will tell you. If you really seek God on anything, he will tell you. Half the problem is we're too busy with the distractions in this world to hear what he's saying. Anyways, so I was like, okay, Lord, my friend said something crazy. Said that, you know, she thought I was supposed to go to this place, Saskatchewan. Moose Jaw, that, not even Regina. Like, what am I going to do there? Okay. Lord, I'm not even going to. I'm just telling you because I promised that I'd pray about it, you know. So I'm just leaving that with you. Okay. And every time, all of a sudden, stuff was coming up. And then my parents would be saying stuff, and they don't know my conversation or whatever. And then stuff about schools and this would be coming up. And I'm like, what is going on? And I just kept feeling that tug, that pull. You know when God's pulling on you and wants you to understand something? And it's like a grip, and you can't escape it. And I was just like, oh, that's, what is this school thing? So I said, okay, let's just make this nice and easy. I said, Lord, I got a list of, what, like, I came up with 10, maybe 20 things. I don't remember now, but it was a lot of things. I was like, this place, this school would have to have these things for me to even consider it. Because I was like, you know, I was a young man, so I was working out. I had my routine. I was like, I had my friend group. I was doing all the things. I was working. I didn't want anything messing that up. You know what I mean? I had things to do, right? So I was like, it has to have this gym. I have to be able to play basketball, you know, like, because I thought I was something special and I needed to be able to play good basketball. I was like, they need to have, like, good basketball so I can compete. They need to have, like, all of these things. And I made this ridiculous list. And I'm like, there ain't no way Moose Jaw is going to have any of these things. So I'm like, I'm thinking, this is off my chest. I don't need to deal with this. Then it was just like, I felt it's like, well, look it up. And I'm like, look it up. I'm like, what is this? So I'm like, okay, let's put this, let's get rid of this. Let's get this out of my head. So I started to look it up. In the last, since looking it up, it was within like a month or the 2 months of me looking it up. They had a YMCA. They had a basketball team. They had a place that I could work out. They had transportation so I could get from A to Z. They had all of the things that I didn't think they could possibly have, because why would a small community have these things where I could do all these things? And it had every single thing on the list. And I just was like, are you kidding me? And I was like, Lord, do you want me to go to leave all of this and go out there? And he's like, yes. See, God might take you to places you don't think or you don't expect, but he's with you. Just like Abraham, he is with you. See, sometimes he takes us away from what we're used to get out of our comfort zone, because we're a little bit too comfortable, right? A little bit too comfortable. We're relying on ourselves a little bit too much instead of relying on him. And God needs to let us understand that he's the one that's doing it all. We need to rely on his strength. So anyways, I was like, okay. My friend's name, her name was Sabrina. I was just like, you were right. And she's like, oh, I know. And I was just like, I can't believe this. But, you know, I didn't expect anything from it. But God blessed me more than I could ever have imagined. And I came out to school. I'll let Stacy come and share this next part of our journey. I told you, my testimony's long.
You can say, no, I'll try and make this short. But no, so I'm not going to go into my full testimony, but maybe another day we can come back. But I will share parts of it just to tie into my husband's testimony. But there's so much more, so much more. God is so good. So I grew up, unlike Phil, in a non-Christian home. So I didn't know who Jesus was until my grandma at the time would bake cakes for Jesus at Christmas. She went to residential school, so she had to go into the Catholic Church, so she kind of learned a little bit about Jesus. I'm Métis. And so I was like, okay, that's really cool that we sing a song for Jesus at Christmas. Cool, okay. And then basically I struggled off and on. My parents divorced when I was one. My mom has struggled a lot in her life with a lot of things, and she wasn't a very good mom at all. So my dad raised me for a lot of my young life, along with my grandma and grandpa. Then I got it so good because I went to high school. I'm leaving out a lot, and just to get to the Bible college part, but went to high school, and I met a girl. She invited me to youth group, and I was like, what's a youth group? I had no idea. So I was 14, and I was already struggling with depression and a lot of things at that young age, and I went to this youth group, and they played the songs, and I was like, these songs, it was doing something to me, and I was like, what is happening here? And within, I think, a month or two, I gave my heart to the Lord at 14 because that friend was bold to ask me to come to youth group. So from 14 to 23, I struggled off and on with my relationship with the Lord, but kind of like Phil, he wouldn't let me go. He wouldn't let me go. I had this book called God's Promises for Every Day, and I would just open it up to scripture. Even when I was struggling, when my mom was having a lot of issue, when things were going really bad, and God still had me, you know, and it's so cool to look back. So we're talking about love and God's love. Well, I would also look for love in all the wrong places because my mom first would never say, I must say, because Shadi knows Gran is amazing and she's really come a long way and you can pray for my mom today. She's actually incredible now. Our relationship is restored. She's amazing. She's an amazing grandma, amazing mother-in-law. So praise God for that. But at the time, it was not like that. So mom had never said that she loved me. Never. My dad, I'm fortunate. He is amazing. So I did have that father's love here in the world. But I still, you know, you look for approval. You want your mom, you want both your parents to love you. You're like, why doesn't she say she loves me? So I would look for that in every possible place. But God, even when I knew God, I would just be running too. And I would get into relationship after relationship thinking that would solve things and thinking I'd find love like that, and I'd be desperate to be like, well, why don't they love me like that? And they'd often be abusive relationships. So then I went through a very, very dark depression, and you can kind of lead to where that could have led me. You know, I had a couple hospital stays, and just things were bad and dark. And I went to university for a while, and I was finishing up a third year. And God was bringing these people into my life. I was about 21, 22. And he'd bring me these people, these other girls my age. And some of them had gone to International Bible College. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, yeah, come to a camp out or come to this thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is weird. But I was still struggling. I was trying to run, but God's like, I have you, right? And I knew this. So then, remember, none of my family's Christian, so they, you know, they're proud that I'm in university and social work. So one day, I was really having a rough time. I had just turned 23, and it was the summer, and it was very dark, dark, dark. And I was like, you should go to Bible college, Stacy. And I'm like, my friend. And I'm like, oof, I don't think so. Like, that's crazy. Like, I'm going to do one more year of social work, like, and then I'll be done and whatever. So, but you know, when the Lord calls you, he calls you. And I had to make a choice, like Phil. Never on my radar was ever Bible college, ever in my life. And I was in university. So you can imagine my parents were just thrilled when I just said, I literally, it was August, and I messaged the president of International Bible College in Moose Jaw, and I said, do you have any spots left? Like, how can I get there and start in 2 weeks? I was already enrolled in U of R. I dropped it, and my life changed in an instant making that decision. Oh, I get shivers because it's like God's, it was life or death for me at that point, right? I had a lot of depression issues, a lot of things happening, so it was a life or death choice for me. So, against everybody thought I was nuts, because why would I go to Bible college? But I did. I had to move into the dorms. I'd lived on my own since I was 18. Now I had to go into a dorm situation with all these rules. And remember, I hadn't even completely rededicated my life yet. I just dropped everything and went to Bible college. So I went, and it was pretty quick that I repented and rededicated my life. And God was already moving in crazy ways in my life back then. And I was having some health problems, but I didn't know what was going on at the time, and there was a lot of turmoil in my life all along. So physical things can happen when you have such turmoil in your life too. Anyway, that October, well, I'd seen Phil around, but he's a good looking guy, and I was like, all the girls really yes, no, he's the lucky one. But anyway, no, but I was like, oh, and he's very charismatic, so, like, he's got a lot of friends. I thought for sure he was in a relationship, even though, no one in particular. I just thought, oh, this guy for sure. So, and I said, God, I don't want any more relationships because, and I was 23, but I was like, I don't want any more of this, and I need to lay this down to you. And I know part of Phil's story is that he did the same thing, and there's a whole much more to this, but basically I saw him, I'm like, oh, and the girls would be like, who do you think's cute? You know, when you're like young and you're like, ooh, bridal college, whatever. But, and I didn't even know that was a thing, right? So one day they had asked me, which is shocking, to do one of the speaker chapels, and it was October. So I've just been in college for 2 months, 2.5 months, and I've been going through a lot, but you know when the anointing's there and God anoints you? I didn't realize what that meant, but they had asked me to share some of my struggle. And I prepared for this message. I prepared for that speaker chapel. And there's a lot more to this, but little signs where Phil was the kitchen staff, and they were all given white roses, and this was about a week or two before. And all the girls are like, Phil, give us your white rose. Give us your rose. He's like, no. And I was walking. He's like, no word of a lie. He just stops, puts out the rose to me. He goes, I'll never forget this. Hands me the rose and says, this is a sign of purity. Keep it close to your heart. Like, but we don't know, like, God knows, but we're like, weird. And then I just walk away with this rose. And they're like, who gave you that? I'm like, Philip, I don't know. It was weird. But that's exactly what he said. And he even thinks it's, like, crazy to this day. But little things. And then I felt the Lord say, like, go and speak to him the night before speaker chapel a bit. So we were around a bunch of friends, and we just had a brief conversation, but nothing really, you know? So we'd not had conversations, but that weird interaction and one little conversation the day before. So I spoke in chapel, and Phil would tell you his side. He was praying and praying and praying. He had prayed with his friends. And he's like, wouldn't it be cool to know who your wife is going to be? I just want to know because I'm done with this. And Phil, since he was a little boy, he'd tell you that he always desired to be married, like at a younger age. He just wanted to be married. And I think when we started there, you were 27, like it was 2004. And and you were just like, done, right? And I was like, done, and I wanted to know. So then he was praying, I was praying, we had no idea. And then I finished speaking, and I was just praying with people, and Phil's story would be, because it started with him, he was in the crowd, and it was like, you're like, I just want to know who my wife would be, and the Lord said to you, look up. And I was in his line of vision. Now, of course, you're like, oh, these are just, this is just me feeling this way, because we talked about feelings and how, like, when you want something, you're like, oh, you're like, whatever. And then you do it again. It's like, no, like, I'm there. So I'm praying. We barely talked. And I'm just like, Lord, I just would love to just know, because I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be hurt anymore. I prayed, and God's like, look. And I looked at Phil. And then, this is where it's crazy and how God is so good and God is so real. We walked up to each other. What did we do? We walked up to each other, and all we did was...
I said, I was looking at her, and Stacy goes, you know. And I was like, what did you say? And she goes, you know. And I was like, yeah, I do.
And that was how our relationship started. So you can't tell me that God's not real, right? Like, not a word before that. Not like a big thing. He didn't even really have me in his radar. And so then started our relationship, and Phil had to deal with all of my trauma and all of the stuff, and he was going through lots too, and, you know, we ended up, you're an important part of the story, dude, yeah. You know, I was starting to heal from a lot of things, and we got married in 2007, but a year before, I was diagnosed with a rare disease called FSGS, which is the kidney disease. And by 2008, so we'd just been married a year, and I have to go on dialysis. That's when we met Justin and Cheryl. So it was a horrible, horrible time, but yet a really good time. Because through that time, yes, I was very sick. We met Justin and Cheryl, and we had good support. We also, you know... went to the legislature, made some noise together, and then Phil decided to quit his job and said, this is the time that we're going to tour cross country doing music. So you can imagine, again, my parents were thrilled, thrilled. You know, first I thought, let's just drop everything, my social work degree. And you know what's funny about that? I never did finish that. But you know what? How good God is? I worked so hard. I work so hard that today I work at Mobile Crisis. I'm a counselor there in Regina. And because I've worked so hard and done a lot of classes, and God will qualify you, you know. It's amazing. Anyway, so Phil and I had the pleasure to tour across Canada with, like, a Grammy-nominated artist. And we went to reserves, and we went all across, and we'd share our testimony, and we'd do music together. And it was incredible. And then I got a transplant from my dad in 2010, and so he donated the kidney to me. So it'll be 15 years this August that I've had it. So it's amazing. I have been in rejection for about 9 years, but God is sustaining me. I know you guys pray for Justin. Continue to pray for him, but please also pray for me. I'm at 22% function. God is sustaining me. I've been on a lot of treatments, and I'm just praying that I will not have to go back on dialysis for some time, hopefully never. And I pray for complete healing. And also the dad that gave me his kidney, just a quick thing for your prayers. He was recently diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer. He never smoked a day in his life. It spread to his brain, his spine, and his rib. So he just was diagnosed December 27th. So we've been fighting for him and praying for his salvation, and he is close, you guys. He knows who the Lord is. We've had the conversations, and his last words recently for that conversation was, I'll think about it. So please pray for him, because I'm believing for his salvation. So in the midst of all that, after having a transplant, we desired children, of course, and God gave us Shadrach, and his name, he came at 30 weeks, 2 pounds, And he's a miracle. He's truly a miracle, being able to have him after the transplant. And when we got pregnant with him, we knew he was a boy. Like, from the moment we were pregnant with him, we just knew. God, it's like we were certain. We can never feel a girl's name. And God had given us the name Shadrach. Now, it's pretty intense. But no other name would come to us. So we call him Shaddy, which means joyful singer, the short form. And Shadrach in the Bible, obviously, you know, came through the fire unscathed. And we pray that for him every day, that he doesn't have to go through the same things and he can walk with the Lord through his life. So he's been a blessing. He has a baby sister or brother in heaven that we had lost about 2 years later. So, and then since then, like, yeah, he's just our miracle. So we're so thankful for him. That is the very short version of my testimony, our testimony, but we choose to love each other daily. And you have to do that in relationships with your kids, with your parents, with your spouse, with your friends. And yeah, we've seen so many of our friends' relationships just end. Like one recently where the person just walked right away from the Lord, and because it became all about self. And they didn't even go through anything like profound. You know, of course, if someone's being abused or this or that, but God can still restore things. But, you know, this wasn't like that. And she just chose to be like, nope, you know. So I'm so thankful for my husband. He's incredible. I feel like we just grow every day. And I know some of you have probably been married a long time. We're just coming up on 18 years together and 21 almost, and 18 years married. And it's been a blessing every day, you know. So I really appreciate you guys and listening to us. And I think we may do a little bit of one song. If you'd like to hear a song. So this song, Phil wrote a really long time ago. It's about relationships. So
this song is called What Do You Want? And we'll figure out the miking situation in a second. But basically this song, I wrote it for, in the perspective of, okay, it's a guy and a girl talking, but the guy is pursuing this girl, right? And he's wanting this girl, but she's saying, wait a minute, you can't have me because I belong to him. You need to get your stuff together if you want me. And essentially, you can understand that's the song. We could use one of the those mics. Okay. And that's what this song, What Do You Want, is called. This song actually was on an album, Hard Pressed album, I think. Hard Pressed. And that album was nominated for Album of the Year, Covenant Awards. And believe it or not, I'm still making a lot of music. I have a band that we're practicing every week. And I have about two or three albums in the works right now. So hopefully this summer I'll be able to release my this hip hop album, and that's the one. And you can crank it. You can. So it should be good, right? We'll just do a mic check with her first.
If you're interested, it is on iTunes or Apple Music and Spotify. Philly Five. I'm proud of him. He shares about Jesus in every song, and I love it. And we, are you okay there, son? Don't know what's happening there, but thank you. So if you like to check it out, awesome.
Yeah. I'll tell you one last little secret. Every song I write, it's about a relationship. No matter what the perspective, there's a relationship. So when you're listening to my music, you can plug that in and kind of figure it out. Anyways, it's a little tip.
that comes with a price already paid. He brought me with his life, not even a fair trade. What do you think of this? This is what I've been told. For me, he gave his life, now he holds my soul. You want me for my looks, but you can have me.
Why not, girl?
You tried so many things, but still don't get it.
Come on.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of fly. But if you don't know him, I can't be in your life.
Girl, what I want is just you. And what I need in my life is some truth. Ignore the things that I do. The mess in my life is like, ooh, so few have captured my mind. But what I won't do for you, I can't find. I'm inclined to reach for the skies, cause it's you that I want and I need in my life.
What do you want? Oh, what do you want from me?
Baby, it's you. You got what I need.
You can have it. My body's not for sale.
But I want it because you make me feel.
And die for you. A sacrifice of life so few can understand his plans and use his gifts to go and spread the truth. Who am I that I realize? Many are called, but chosen are few. I recognize that my call in life is more than I alone can do.
I'm going out of my mind, girl. I'm crazy all because of you. I don't know what am I to do.
My mind can't seem to handle life without you. I feel strangled. I'm stuck in my place. I'm at a standstill. You're my Mona Lisa, my mantle. My plans will all pull and drain. Without your love, there's only pain. There is no drug, no medicine. There's only
Jesus beats.
My mind can't seem to handle life without you. I feel strangled. I'm stuck in my place at a standstill. You're my Mona Lisa, my mantle. My plans will all pull and drain. Without your love, there's only pain. There is no drug, no medicine. There's only hope you'll let me.
What do you want? Oh, what do you want from me?
Baby, it's you. You got what I need.
You can't have it. My body's not for sale.
But I want it because you make me feel.
What do you want? Oh, what do you want from me?
Baby, it's you.
You're driving me crazy. You're driving me crazy. Thank you. That song is from 2010, but praise we love pulling it out. So,
I figured that was some throwback for you guys. Yeah, what do you want? We are so blessed. God has been doing so many things in our lives, and we just love sharing what God is doing because we believe that God wants to do something in everyone's life. Every one of his children he loves. Every one of his children he wants to use. So I just hope that you feel encouraged today to that you, where you are, you can love somebody close to you. You can make a difference to somebody close to you. And you can transform somebody's life circumstance by your dedication to God. So thank you for having us. We hope you'll be blessed. Yes, let's pray. And so anything that you've been thinking or feeling, if you would like prayer, we'd love to pray with you. We know that at the altar, God loves when we come to the altar, and he definitely hears our prayers. So whatever you're thinking or feeling, we would love to pray for you.
You can pray and close, and then we'll just open it up for whoever wants to come up.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that you've brought forth, Lord. I thank you for all of the excitement. I thank you for all of the energy. But more importantly, Lord God, I thank you for your word and your truth. I thank you for the testimony you've given us and for walking with us through our lives. Lord God, I pray that so many people here will be touched. Lord God, that so many people here will be challenged, Lord, into what they are called for and what they can do, Lord, and that you'll bless people here in new ways, that ways they haven't thought about, that you'll bless them to do things and to bless people that are in their circumstance and in their circle, and that they will draw people to you, Lord God. I pray that you use them, Lord God, use them for the kingdom, that you use them to show that you are love, and that when they put themselves in your hands, that you will guard them and you will protect them. Heavenly Father, we just pray for this congregation, that they keep drawing people, Lord God, so this place isn't even big enough to hold everybody, Lord. We just pray, Lord God, expansion. We just pray, Lord God, for your vision to just explode in this place, Lord God, that the youth will be coming out, Lord God. We pray for every single age group that will just be coming out and just drawn. They just want to know what's going on in Wolseley, Lord God. I don't often talk about revival, but revival can happen. Why not in Wolseley, Lord God? Heavenly Father, we just pray for your spirit to just unite and ignite these people, Lord God, to do wonderful work. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.